We're just a screaming tornado of ideas. That's what we'll call it. Screaming tornado of ideas. People love drama.
Webcomics Company Podcast. Visit www.webcomics.co.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the Webcomics Company Podcast. My name's Zoe Kirk-Robinson with allofthehouse.net, and I'm here with the two Lukes because Matt is unfortunately unable to turn up this week. So why don't we introduce ourselves?
Hello, I am Luke Searle of lukesearle.com.
Luke?
And hello, I'm Luke Healy of lukewhealy.com.
Excellent. And this week, because Matt's not here and we haven't been able to put up our preview blog, we decided we're going to have an impromptu episode. So we got no plan, no previews, no comments, no dogs allowed, except for guide dogs. And here we go. We're talking about, do you need special equipment to be a professional cartoonist?
Can you...
Yes.
Zoe, you read something which prompted you to ask this question. What was that?
I'm trying to remember. It was a It was a comment on the webcomic list. I'm not sure whether it's a recent comment or one of the ones I was catching up on, because it's been a while since I had a look at that. But someone was mentioning that they were not going to go professional until they got their Cintiq. They were going to then make their stab at becoming a professional cartoonist. And I was thinking, well, surely that's the wrong way around. Surely you should be building up your portfolio and showing that you can do the job and then getting the specialist equipment that you want. Because that's how I'd do it. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. Here is what I think on the issue. So, having special equipment is not going to make you more skilled. You have to have the skills, you have to learn them the hard way by working at them. Sorry guys, there's no cheat. So, if you can't draw it on paper with a pencil, you're not going to be able to draw it on a screen with a Cintiq. But, having said that, I do think that there is a level of equipment you must have if you want to be professional. I'm actually going to reference something that you said in a previous episode, Zoe. You talked about an anecdote about an artist for 2000 AD submitted their work in Biro.
Yeah,
and the editor told them to stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there is a point when you're trying to do professional level work, we have to say, okay, now is when I'm going to buy the nice paper and the nice ink at a very minimum.
Yeah, I totally agree. There are certain standards that you're going to have to go to. But, I think we've lost Luke. I'll try and bring him back in a moment. There are certain standards that you've got to hold yourself to if you're going to be a professional. I totally agree. A Bristol board and a decent archival ink pen are necessities. So is a pencil and an eraser so that you can sketch and rub it out. But going for expensive, hundreds and hundreds of pounds worth of computer equipment to be able to draw a comic that you're going to give away for free just so you can call yourself a professional seems wrong.
Well, if you're giving it away for free, are you a professional? I don't know. That's a whole other debate, though. Whole other thing. Yeah, I think that when people get ahead of themselves, I own a Cintiq, although I'm getting good use of it now. When I first bought it, it was because I ran into some money and I decided, hey, here's the thing that I want, it'll make me better. It did not make me better.
Hello.
I will say,
Hello.
I will say that when I got it initially, straight away, it did make me much faster. But I do agree with you, Zoe. I think that making such a giant investment when you're maybe just starting out is a bad idea. There's nothing you can do with it that you can't do on paper or with a 50-euro tablet and a scanner.
Did you guys get the point to which Skype thought my views were so radical it dropped me from the call for about 3 minutes?
No.
We didn't actually hear your views. Would you like to chip in?
I have a feeling from what I caught of what Luke was just saying there that I'm going to say a similar thing, is that I think Acintiq, which is I think what a lot of people are talking about here, won't make you good. This is from what I've heard. I don't have Acintiq. It is your judgment rather than mine on whether I am good yet or would be good with Acintiq. But what I've heard is that any equipment that you get won't change how good you actually are. It can change your speed. It can make you able to do more things. I mean, and another thing is different software packages. There are things which you can do on Manga Studio which are very difficult to do with any other piece of software. Photoshop can do things that are impossible without a good image editing software. But in terms of the nuts and bolts of basic cartooning, you need a pencil, you need a paper, and that is, if you're starting out, that's all you need. But I mean, if you've got the money, go nuts, sure. buy whatever. But don't expect it to make you a superhero or overnight.
Yeah, all the equipment in the world won't buy you artistic talent. Practice buys you artistic talent.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
say that. If you're starting out, I so recommend getting Manga Studio over anything else. If I had to say, here's your beginner level, entry level program, you really want to make digital art, I would say go for Manga Studio if you're making comics, because it's, firstly, it's cheap. I think I got mine on a sale, but it was like $50, whatever that is.
It's one of those pieces of software it's a bit like DFS. A DFS sofa sale. Never buy it full price because you can always find some reason why it's reduced.
They do have sales all the time. You can easily find it by googling Manga Studio, but it is such a great program for making comics, particularly black and white comics. I haven't done a ton of color stuff in it, but it is, oh man, it's just great and it's cheap and it's anything you ever need. It's especially good if you're drawing things on paper and then bringing them onto the computer.
Interesting. What is it that makes it great compared to something like Photoshop or Illustrator?
Lines moving.
Basically, yeah.
It's got something in it which, if you draw a line that is a bit squiggly, it will correct it to a degree that you can set.
Oh wow.
It's, yeah, that's, I mean, I have it. I've had it for a while. I only started using it about a year ago, and it's, I don't use it for everything, but I use it for more and more stuff now. And it's, yeah, what I do is I do my pencils on paper. I scan in those pencils. I do my inking on Manga Studio, then I color in Photoshop Elements.
Mm-hmm. Because I have to say, I just use Photoshop for everything. I sketch on it, I ink on it, and I colour on it. And that's just how I work. So I've never really used other programs. I tried GIMP, and good grief, GIMP is awful.
Oh, no.
No.
If I have to click three times to change the tool I'm using and then start using it, that's just too much. It's badly designed.
I can't get my head around GIMP. It's sort of similar to Photoshop, I guess. If you really were on a €0 budget and you wanted to do digital art, there are worse choices. But still, no, don't go for GIMP.
I mean, I'd be interested to hear from somebody who is creating comics on GIMP. I don't think I've actually met anybody who's done it. Maybe it's you can do everything you can do on Photoshop if you just spend some time learning how it works. But I think for people who don't know what we're talking about, GIMP is basically the Linux version of Photoshop.
I would say it's more the Linux version of PaintShop Pro, because it handles text like PaintShop Pro does, i.e. badly.
Okay.
I think that, you know, GIMP is free and that's great, but I would say that your time is worth the $50 that Manga Studio will cost you. I think that it's a good trade-off. You'll be buying back hours of time. Also, just go quickly back to Manga Studio, and I'm saying how great it is and sort of pimping it, but it is the big difference between that and Photoshop is that Manga Studio is really built for making comics. It's right there in the name, manga, graphic narrative, whatever. So you've got a lot of really good tools in there, like for building panels and speech bubbles. And, you know, if you're really into manga, it can do a lot of good stuff with screen tones. It's just really great. It's really worth having a look into. And there's tons of videos of people using it online, so you can get a good sense of it.
Cool.
Which version of Manga Studio do you have?
I have Manga Studio EX4.
Okay. Ah, you're a number ahead of me. I'm on the X.
Am I? I actually got it quite a long time ago, so I would probably guess that there's been one or two versions since I got it.
There is the a basic version which is not EX, but I can't say what that does. I don't. You have a Mac, don't you, Luke?
Yes.
Do you, Zoe?
I'm one of those weirdos. I've got a Mac and 7 PCs.
You have 24-bit colour on your monitor, I guess. Whereas I have, on my Windows-y machine here, I have 16 bits. Does that help? Have I just said something that you haven't noticed?
To be honest with you, it won't help an awful lot. If you're going into CMYK, then 16-bit colour will show all of the colours that you can print. So if you're ever considering printing, you've got enough to print with. The Mac-style colour display makes it look really crisp and lovely. It's gorgeous. But to be honest with you, the majority of people that you're going to be showing your comic to will either be showing it in print or will be watching it on a PC.
I will say, because I use two screens, I have the screen on my Mac and the Cintiq screen working at the same time, and I would say that there is an appreciable color difference. I believe that the Cintiq is probably a higher-end screen than the one that came in my Mac, just because that's sort of what it's built for, and I'm pretty sure that's true. I don't know. I mean, Mac screens, I think they're a little bit notorious for this. They sort of wash out color a tiny bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really sure if it's making that much of a difference. I would say, though, that from a pure computing standpoint, I personally prefer Macs a lot more because of the little things that they do that make things so much easier, especially when you're producing comics.
If we start entering into Mac versus PC wars in general, you can write into the Webcomics Company podcast. Just please label your things for Luke Healy, abuse for your pro Mac views, so the rest of us can.
I'm just saying, there are a couple of things that seriously make image production a little bit easier on the Mac. So, you know, you've got things like where you can highlight any file and then hit spacebar and a preview, a full-size preview comes up. That's really handy for navigating your folders and stuff. There are things like how Macs, as soon as you turn on a program, it's running until you actually go down and right-click and click shut down, even if you closed all the windows. So you can close all your Photoshop windows and the program won't sort of disappear. And that means no rebooting programs all the time, starting them up again. Just the little things. I would say that I much prefer to work on a Mac. But obviously, you can get exactly the same product out of a PC.
Yeah. We're getting a bit off topic, though, aren't we? Would you?
Yeah.
Let's talk about our setups. So people who maybe are just starting out, maybe are thinking of starting their own comic, have an idea of what people in what I would say was the middle ground are using. Luke, you mentioned earlier that you have two different setups these days. Do you want to talk us through them?
Yeah, so basically I do. I don't always have two different setups, just at the moment because I'm doing two different projects. I have one room I have set up a space for my laptop, my Cintiq, and that's pretty much it. That's all I need. That's for producing color comics, digital, start to finish. They would be the higher quality art-wise that I can produce. Then in another room I have set up space that has my laptop, it has a scanner, it has my old Wacom Bamboo tablet that's just for doing like minor corrections. I wouldn't try to do a lot of production work on that. And that's for scanning in physical pages because I'm putting together a graphic novel at the moment. And I have to scan 200 pages and it's so much easier not to have to work on everything else with a big giant scanner beside me and a second tablet set up. It's just easy to have two different setups.
Fair enough.
I would say if I could justify it and if I had the money, I would buy a better scanner. I have a really, really cheap scanner, and while it was like €50, so while it scans in good quality, it can get as high quality pretty much as I want. It comes with a really crappy bundled software that you have to use, and it's so slow. It's so slow to scan in pages. It's crazy, and it's eating up so much of my time. So maybe that would be a good thing to buy if you're a professional. I don't know.
Fair enough. Luke, what's your setup?
My setup is I have one of those bamboo fun tablets that... I'm not a big fan of it, actually, but I have it. I have my scanner sitting at one side of my desk, and I have my computer. It's a very basic setup. When I draw, I have a drawing board, which I can pick up and plonk onto my desk. I only have the 1 2-meter by 1 meter desk, so I need... I'd like to have a bigger set, but that's not possible in my room. So it's your really bog standard what I have. So yeah, I probably could do more. I generally use mechanical pencils when I remember to buy the leads, and I have a bunch of pens because I sometimes do real world inking. I have Faber-Castell pens, which I love.
Oh, I love those pens.
Yeah. And I have extra small, medium F. I think F means fine, but it's, yeah, small. It goes small, fine, medium, and then brush pens, Faber-Castell.
Yeah, that always confused me, because when I bought them, I thought fine was thinner than small, but it's not.
Yeah, but that's roughly all I use, apart from like things like rulers. I'm fairly basic, which probably shows my art, but nothing more fancy than a bamboo tablet. But I am thinking of getting a Cintiq because I could possibly just about afford it ish maybe. Not sure.
It's Well, I'm going to go against the Cintiq crowd. I had the choice of Cintiq or Intuos, and I thought, I'm really used to drawing on a flat surface and looking at the screen, and why do I want to try and draw on something that I never really got the hang of? I don't like the feeling of drawing on, what is it, like drawing on glass is how I keep describing it. So I went for the Intuos 4. I went for the large one because it gives a lot more space. And as I say, I really like that. If you've ever seen any of my videos, youtube.com/knobmouse is where to find most of them. You'll see the setup that I have with the monitor, with the Interos underneath it, and then underneath that on a sliding thing is my keyboard for typing. And that's basically my setup. To the left of that, I've got my printer, scanner, photocopier combined thing. And normally I sit at my Mac between the scanner and the main screen so I can have a second screen for checking things if necessary. And that's basically my setup. I do have a little portable drawing board that I can set up instead of the Interos if I want to do actual work on pen and paper. And then I just use basic HB pencils to sketch. So I'm pretty low-tech on the average pen and paper, but I like the Interos.
What I wish I could do is have a dedicated part of my room for comics, which I don't really have. I just have my one desk, which gets used for everything from tax returns to looking at kitten pictures on the internet. and comics as well. So I did sort of have that in a previous house I had where I had a larger room. That was quite nice. But if you can do that, it's quite nice to be able. I know, I quite like subdividing my life into manageable chunks.
I'm totally with you on that. I'm sat here recording this podcast at my computer, and it's in an office. It's where I come to do my work, and then the rest of the house is for everything else. So I'm totally with you on dividing your life up into places. Yeah.
I think we're probably not quite at the level where we can discuss. Is it worth us hiring a studio for our web comics?
Hiring a studio, no. But if you have the space in your house to set up a dedicated area to doing your comic work, then I say go for it, because it helps you with the mentality of, right, I'm in my workspace, I'm going to do work.
I wish I could do that. My two rooms are currently being used as other types of rooms, so everything's sort of like in a corner of each. I'm lucky that I can set it up in two different places, but man, an office would be so great. But anyway, we can dream. One of these days, I tell you.
Yeah.
I have to say that I would love a studio, but again, I don't need one. I've got the space I've got here, and why would I change it? And I think that's really the way we should be looking at this podcast. You don't need to spend huge amounts on an office just to make your comics when you can do it at home. You don't need to spend hundreds and hundreds of pounds on a graphics tablet when actually what you can do to start off with is sketch your comics on a piece of paper. Just because who's going to put that investment into something that, for a start, you might not stick with?
A fool, I tell you.
Well, one thing, Luke, you say that your Cintiq can make you produce things faster.
Yes.
Right. If somebody is at the stage where they can, every image they produce, they can sort of have a think that will generate some income for them. Being able to be faster, maybe not better, but faster, can make the shift between making, well, small amounts of money to making larger amounts of cash.
Yeah. Well,
if
you're at the stage where you're making money from your comics, I think it's a great investment. Because at that stage, you're sort of like, okay, I'm giving this a go now. This is me trying to be a professional. And there's some hope of getting money back for that. So I think, you know, I'm not knocking the Cintiq at all. I think they're great. And, like, in terms of making you faster, it made me about twice as fast.
And I do know what Matt would say if he was here, is saying that you can get the VAT back on these things. You keep the receipts. You can claim them as artist tools. I am not this organized or advanced.
If you're registered self-employed, you have up to, I think it's between £1,000 and £6,000, depending on the level of your income, that you can claim back as investment into your business. So yeah, you could definitely put the Cintiq on your tax return.
Okay. Pro still tip there from the Web Comics Company podcast.
You still have to pay the money for it, though.
Oh, yeah, you have to pay the money for it, yeah. But yeah, I put my Intuos on tax return when I bought that. I put the Mac on my tax return when I bought that because I used them for my business. So yeah, go for it.
I think that what's more important for beginners than spending like a bunch of money on expensive tools is maybe trying like a range of different tools. Like go to an art shop and buy, you know, like a bunch of different pencils and different types of inking pens and stuff if you have a bit of money to spare. I think that would be a more invaluable investment.
Yeah, like a whole range of sort of basic level things so that you can might find, oh, I really do like working in crushed up animal bones. This can be... I should have chosen a better example.
Sorry, but, what art shop is this you go to? Or
is this the one that's all black?
It's got lots of upside down pentagrams on the walls, and this strange sort of chanting music.
Yeah, that's not an art shop.
I think you're talking about W.H. Smith. Is that
right? But yeah, I was saying this last week. I'd love to see people doing something new and exciting, experimenting. So, if you find something a bit weird, works, and you can create, just try it and see. You don't have to go down the route of us tired old men like me. I'm old. I'm 25. Who draw, scan, ink, and color, and upload, and Photoshop. You could do crazy things with weird brushes from Japan and stuff.
Yeah, and if you do that, send us a link, because, you know, I want to see that.
Yeah, if you're doing something weird, I want to see it.
Mm.
Well, to a certain extent. That was a really open statement.
Yeah, just send us the videos.
No, don't.
Yeah. And even like, I'm going to mention MS Paint Adventures again because I love it. But even, you know, if you're comfortable using Photoshop, try to do some weird too. Like he's all, you know, his art is all anti-aliased, clearly using the pencil tool, and it looks totally boss. So... try to do weird stuff at all times. I need to do weird stuff now. My curiosity has been alighted.
Luke, I'm going to start up a webcomics company drinking game, and every time you mention MS Paint Adventures, that's going to be a shot.
Okay, but every time you mention John Adelson, you have to take a shot.
Okay, fine. Yeah, there we go. Zoe, I think yours is 2000 AD.
I like 2000 AD. Judge Dredd rocks.
Yeah.
I can't think of what Matt's would be. I can't. Matt's just too diverse for this game.
We'll pin him down as something yet.
So what have we learned?
I think we can all agree that we're all brilliant. I think we've learned that. And that we don't have to spend a huge amount to get started. It's a fairly cheap hobby when you think about it. The entry level is fairly low.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Get yourself a scanner. Get Photoshop, at least. And then, knock yourself out. Go nuts. Ready? That's the take-home message.
I think that, you know, Photoshop, like we were talking earlier about this stuff, Photoshop... especially if you're trying to pursue professionally, is basically a necessity. It's so industry standard that if somebody is trying to send you a file that they want you to work on, it's probably going to be a Photoshop document. And other programs come up and open them, obviously. And there's ways around everything if you're willing to look hard enough. But it's probably a good investment as well.
True. But if you're starting out and you just want to give webcomics a go, I would not recommend spending £600 or whatever it is on Photoshop. No.
Maybe if you're a student and you can get the crazy Adobe student discount.
Whoa, what's that in the back? Whoa.
Whoa. Oh, what?
Is someone going for a roll through crisps?
No. Is it me? I can't hear it.
There just seems to be a huge amount of crackle. Okay, it's clear now. Spock is in.
I think Luke's being mauled by some sort of monster who disapproves of his the Syntic people have got to him. People must buy our $600 dollar devices on the first day of comics.
Is it gone?
It has, yes.
Oh, good. My apologies. It's these headphones. Yeah, they do weird things.
Invest in some good headphones, people. This is our
number one. If you're making a webcomic, you have to have good headphones to listen to podcasts on. Obviously.
Yeah. I'm going to say, be incredibly vague. Is just say find stuff that works for you. Experiment with cheap versions of things before you progress to expensive version of things.
Yeah, get the demo. I mean, Photoshop has a 30-day demo.
Yeah. And have fun.
Comics are fun. That's why we make them.
Yeah, and more importantly, if while having fun, you find that you're not having enough fun, or while trying it, you find you don't like it at all, it's not for you, then at least you haven't spent it too much. Yeah. You haven't bought a very expensive piece of equipment that you then can't do anything with.
Well, you can sell it.
Yeah.
That's...
I didn't think that through, did I?
But if you're selling your Cintiq on eBay and it's nice and cheap, then let me know, because I'd quite like to buy a second-hand one.
Okay, have we done this topic to death? Shall we round up?
Okay, next. Sign off or round up? If we're signing off, I have been Luke Searle of LukeSearle.com.
I've been Luke Healy of LukeWHealy.com.
And I've been Zoe Kirk Robinson of ZoeRobinson.com, where you can find all my stuff. Thanks very much for listening to this episode of the Web Comics Company podcast. We'll be back next week with a full-length episode with a preview blog and everything. So check the website for more details. And bye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Web Comics Company podcast.
I don't know what my internet access is going to be.
I'm pretty sure Italy has internet access.
Yeah, I'm spending it on the slopes of Mount Etna, so
yeah, you might not get it then.
It's it's going to be a very busy 2 weeks, and it's
I can imagine that seems really interesting. I would like to hear your report when you get back, because it sounds really interesting.
What I'm doing is I'm going to take pictures, write notes, and maybe take a few sketches. And I'm going to basically try and make a sort of diary comic about it.